All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by the Falcoholic himself, none other than Dave Choke. We're going to be talking about the Falcons' Week 4 loss to the Cincinnati Bengals.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for a very long time at falcfans.com. You can find me on Twitter at falcfans, and of course, I am the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today, I am joined by, of course, the head honcho at the Falcoholic, Dave Choate, once again to unfortunately recap a loss. Once again, it seems like every time we get together on this podcast, Dave, it's after a loss. Unfortunately, I asked you to come on before the game on Sunday, assuming at that point, oh, the Falcons will win, finally get Dave on after a win. Unfortunately, that was not the case. So the football gods seem to always want you on this podcast to talk people off of a ledge. So I guess, are you up to the task tonight, Dave?
Oh, I'm going to do my best, man. You know, I told my dad before the game on Sunday, I said, Aaron at Falc Fans asked me to come on the podcast, and he's like, well, that's a good thing, right? And I'm like, yeah, but it's always for a loss, and I think they're going to win this game. So as it turns out, maybe that wasn't the best omen.
Yeah. Yeah, folks can blame me, I guess. That's good to be on the show. But obviously, the Falcons lost this game. A really good offensive performance, a really poor defensive performance. Where do you want to go first, Dave, in discussing, obviously the defense is probably going to take up a good portion of the conversation, but if you want to start off with the positives, talking a little bit about the offense, I'll let you go.
Yeah, I'll get started there. I think the thing that we've learned with the offense is it's easy to overreact, right? We all overreacted to some extent to Matt Ryan's horrible first week because it was such a bad game, and there were so many of the same issues we saw from Steve Sarkisian's offense in 2017 that I think it was easy to hit that panic button right away. But I think what we've seen from Sark and this offense more broadly is that, when you have this kind of talent, really it is about being patient and giving them the time to coalesce or gel or however you want to put it, because they are just on fire right now. I mean, I'm trying to think of a recent three-game stretch. In 2016 would have been obviously the closest analogy here, but they're just rolling. The way they're getting it done with everybody contributing to some degree, and especially against the Bengals on the ground even, it's just a vintage Falcons offense. It's one of the best ones we've seen through these three games. And I think they're going to need to be that good the rest of the way. So it's awfully encouraging to see that, they haven't really skipped a beat with Devonta Freeman out, even though I think having him back is going to help a lot, and with Andy Levitre out, which was a concern of mine. So, nothing but good things to say about the offense, and I really can't believe that anybody is trying to tell me that Matt Ryan lost this football game, but I guess that's just, Falcons fans.
Okay, well, you definitely run in different circles than I do, because I saw some people commenting on that today, and I was like, what person out there is thinking that? But I guess, there's always that Falcon fan out there that's always ready to blame Matt Ryan whenever the Falcons lose, so.
Yep.
I think I'll be interested to see how this offense performs on the road this week against Pittsburgh. We've seen them with three straight home games in the comfort of, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and, under Kyle Shanahan, that road home dichotomy wasn't that big an issue. It didn't seem to be, as I recall, that big an issue last year, just because the Falcons were consistently mediocre regardless of the venue in 2017. But I do remember early in Matt Ryan's career, for most of his career, he was a very different quarterback at home versus the road. And I'll be curious to sort of see if we can see this offense sustain this going on the road, or do we see them get off to, that sort of patented slow start that is often the case for road teams. I think the good thing is that they're facing a pretty soft Steelers defense. So if they struggle in this game, then, I would be surprised by that. Just because they have a lot of favorable matchups in this game. But I will be sort of curious to see if they can sort of keep this going on the road, particularly because coming off of the bye, the majority of the second half of their schedule is going to be road games since they have so many home games through this early part of the schedule. And so if they can sort of show that, you know, that whole issue of home versus away is not going to be a major, major concern, then I think there's every reason to believe that, you know, this thing can not only keep rolling for the foreseeable future, but throughout the rest of the 2018 season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it is a concern because I think, you know, the Steelers' defenses look horrendous, but, you know, this pace is so insane, even as good as this offense is, that you worry about a pullback, and if there's any kind of pullback, especially against a team like the Steelers, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, definitely. And you talk about the pullback. Let's talk about the defense. Now, you guys know, if you listen to this podcast, you know I have most of the answers, but I do not have all of the answers. And if you happen to have some of those answers, like who is going to win each and every week, then you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to go to my bookie. Trust me, they're the best bet you'll make this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. They have in-game live betting, over and under scores on fantasy points scored, in the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to help you guys out by giving you a $25 free play if you deposit $100 or more after 7 p.m. Eastern. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that offer. Go ahead, visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget that promo code LOCKEDON25 to get that extra $25 deposit after 7 p.m. You play, you win, you get paid. Now, guys, I've covered the Falcons for many years, and there's a couple of rules that I often live by. And one of those things is the team isn't often as good as you think it is, nor is it as bad as you think it is. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about our newest partner, Lokai. Maybe you want to get a little extra game day swag, and now Lokai has your back with their new game day bracelet collection. If you haven't heard that name before, well, now you have. Lokai is an amazing company. I've never been a big bracelet guy, but this is going to be one that changes that for me because they have an amazing message and they also support incredible causes. The Lokai bracelet comes in all 32 teams' colors, including the Falcons. It holds water from Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest point. It's a daily reminder to keep that balance in your life between the highs and the lows, and it's a reminder that Falcon fans, I think, now need more than ever. This is an awesome message that personally keeps me focused during both the good and bad times in my life, and now it can for you guys. Since Lokai is now a friend of the show, they are offering an exclusive discount of 25% off all Game Day Collection bracelets. Trust me, guys, this is a great deal. Just use the promo code FALCONS25 when you're checking out at lokai.com. That's LOKAI.com. Use the promo code FALCONS25 to get 25% off any Game Day Collection bracelet. You guys got to take advantage of this amazing deal. Let's talk about the defense.
Do we have to?
I think we kind of have to. It is the hot button issue of the day. Of du jour or whatever. I didn't take high school French. you know, I think with the defense, obviously, you know, they did not perform well. You know, it's been a major disappointment, I think, in large part due to there were low expectations, I think, for a lot of people with the offense heading into the season, but high expectations for the defense. And now you see the offense really exceed expectations for most people, including myself, and I'm sure yourself. And the defense has sort of come under those expectations, you know, for me and for others. So, you know, I think a lot of the issues from my perspective is people having difficulty reconciling that. And I think, you know, obviously it's not to say the defense has performed well, but I think people are being a little bit more dramatic than they need to be about the defense. I think some of these things are just the typical growing pains that you would expect from a defense that has lost several of its best players and relying on a lot of young guys that really haven't, you know, shown themselves to be high-level players yet, and I think you're seeing that. And then, unfortunately, I think for the Falcons, in addition to those guys that are injured, some of their other high-level players, and we saw that with guys like Trufant and Alford on Sunday, and Grady Jarrett missed half the game. Several of those guys, you know, weren't playing at their sort of best levels to sort of help carry some of these lesser players. And you know, when Isaiah Oliver and Duke Riley and some of these guys are having to shoulder a bigger burden than I think they probably should. And so you see some of these results. But what are your thoughts on the Falcons defense?
You know, I think you have to start with the injuries. I think it's, you know, a lot of people were yelling about this yesterday, as would be expected after watching two straight defensive performances like this. But, you know, no matter what we decide to blame for the way the defense has played the last couple of weeks, I think you have to acknowledge the fact that it's not the same without Keanu Neal, without Deion Jones, and without Ricardo Allen. And there was just no way it was going to be anywhere near as good as it would be with those three guys. That said, I do think, you know, to your point, there are growing pains here. I think that certainly I had hoped that Oliver would be ready to kind of step in and play well from the very beginning, which was probably a little bit unrealistic of me. And a lot of people got to kind of look at the Brian Poole at safety experiment happening, which is something that people have been clamoring for the last couple of seasons off and on. And that certainly was an up and down sort of thing too. You know, I guess my big thing with the defense right now is sort of, it feels like tilting at windmills. There's really nothing that you can charge at that the Falcons can do anything about right now. I don't think they can go out and get an all-pro caliber player. Even if they did, depending on where it was, I don't know if it would provide enough of a boost to be worth the price. I think you can't just shake a guy like Oliver and say, play better, because, you know, he's learning on the job. And for whatever reason, you know, guys like Trufant, guys like Alford, and then guys like Vic Beasley, who was better this week, I thought, you know, they're not playing their best football in these games too. And that's a big problem. It's a lot of issues going on at once. I think you can't just say they're hurt and that's why they're allowing, you know, nearly 40 points a game over the last couple of games. I think that they're hurt. The execution's not there. You can point to the coaching staff making some questionable decisions, and the guys that they're trying to fill in these positions just aren't ready. It's sort of the perfect storm, and it's disappointing with the offense doing this well to see the defense faltering so badly. But I guess that's just how it goes.
So you it sounds like you do have some question marks in regards to sort of how the coaching staff has sort of handled things and currently are handling things.
Yeah, I think for me, it's, you know, I appreciate that they're trying things. You know, obviously, from the sound of it, running up to the Bengals game, they were just going to trot Jordan Richards out there at strong safety, and I have my qualms about doing that. So it was kind of nice to see them take a shot with Poole back there and to try to move around guys a corner a little bit and see if they could find some best fits. But I do think that, you know, if you're going to experiment like that and hopefully find a long-term solution for the team, which I respect, you are opening yourself up to those combinations not working in places. Certainly, I think that, you know, it's on Isaiah Oliver at the end of that game to have that coverage, to be in the right place. And I think he said as much himself, but, you know, was zoned with all their communication issues throughout the game, the best call there in the very last play of the game for the Bengals. And I think you can at least ask the question. I think, you know, it's my larger concerns with the coaching staff probably have a lot more to do with the way they handle situations, with the way they handle time. But I would hope that they'll be able to get just a little bit more out of this defense going forward, just because if they don't, it's, you know, it's going to be kind of questionable whether they can hang with any team with a really good offense.
Well, the good thing is the pass rush looked better against a lackluster Bengals offensive line, but we saw Tack McKinley come alive. We'll have to sort of see where Grady Jarrett's status is this week, dealing with the ankle injury that led him to miss half of Sunday's game. And you mentioned Vic Beasley coming off of probably the best game he's played since that Rams game in 2016, in my eyes. So, I mean, I still am very underwhelmed with this pass rush, but at the very least, I can be like, well, it got better against, you know, a lesser offensive line. Maybe that, you know, against a pretty good Steelers offensive line. Maybe that means they might be a little bit better able to sort of affect the game this upcoming week, because we'll certainly need that given some of the issues in the secondary and the fact that not necessarily Alford and Trufant necessarily inspired enough confidence that, you know, that they couldn't handle A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd for a large chunk of the game. So I'm not expecting them to be able to handle Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster for large portions of this upcoming game. But we'll have to sort of see how that goes. So I think the one thing that, if, you know, me being the, for once, the positive person, the one thing I think you can, if you're going to still not close the door on this defense, that the second half they were much more effective. And I think if they played that way, you know, instead of getting two quarters of that or two and a half quarters of that, or whatever, one and a half quarters, I can't do math, of that, and you get three or four quarters of that type of defense, then I don't think the Falcons, you know, it's not necessarily a good defense, but it's certainly good enough to win games moving forward. So I think that's the hope, and my hope is that since, you know, obviously a couple of plays that they would like to have back in that second half, but with, for the most part, the defense holding its own until that final series, I do think that maybe there's some hope for this team to get things turned around a little bit sooner rather than later, and basically not being in a situation where we're just basically counting down the days to Deion Jones to come back in the hope that he can sort of single-handedly swoop in and save the day for this defense. But we'll have to sort of see.
I like the positive note, though, and, you know, it's fair because they did play much better in the second half, and the pass rush did come alive. For me, I guess I'm just so wary of the Steelers in particular this next game and the hole that you put yourself in at 1-4 that I'm trying not to get my hopes up too high. But certainly, you know, as you said, there are positive notes we saw toward the end of that game after that miserable first half, and hopefully they can at least become a passable defense and get us out of here.
Yeah, well, it's weird because I guess I'm going to have to pick the Steelers to win this week because I've been picking the Falcons the last three games and those outcomes, or I picked against the Falcons in week two and they won, and I picked in favor of the Falcons the last 2 weeks and they lost, so I guess I'm going to have to switch it up and pick the Steelers in the hope that I guess I get that one wrong this week so that I can break the curse, or I don't know how that works, but anyway, that's my own personal problem. You don't have to worry about that, Dave, but just thinking out loud here. Yeah, let's turn our attention a little bit to some other positives. Guys, isn't it crazy how we always pay for brand new clothes? Right? You go out, you buy your kids some new clothes, they outgrow them in a few months. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place that you could discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Now there is. That's swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving from store to store, sifting through racks. You can easily now sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. With swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Quality, hand-inspected items are added daily, and if something doesn't fit, you can enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. We have a special offer for our listeners. Get 35% off select items for your first order using the promo code LOCKEDON. Plus, you can find new deals every day on Swap.com's homepage. Just visit Swap.com, the world's largest online thrift and consignment store, and use the promo code Locked On to get 35% off on select items on your first order. You mentioned Devontae Freeman coming back, but it's interesting that he's coming back at a time where, you know, it baffles me, but I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of people out there that sort of like, who cares if Devontae's coming back because of some guy by the name of Ito Smith, a.k.a. the Judge, emerging as a prominent piece of the Falcons offense over the last couple of games. We talked about this previously in the preseason when they had you on, Dave, and we talked about sort of like saying, oh, well, Ito Smith is not going to play much this year if everything goes according to plan. And, you know, it was unfortunate because we couldn't see more of him in the preseason, which was probably going to be the last chance we would see him get significant reps in this offense. And of course, you know, I guess 3 weeks later after that, Devontae Freeman injures his knee, and all of a sudden Ito is sort of thrust in the lineup and has performed very well in Devontae's absence. Your thoughts on Ito and the return of Devontae?
I think it's really interesting too, because, you know, so much of what we kind of, what I certainly every year poo-poo in preseason, which is just the performance, you know, it doesn't really matter. Obviously some of the depth issues for the Falcons have mattered. On the other hand, you know, we didn't really see anything out of Ito. The very little we saw didn't look terrific in preseason, and he's been lights out since he actually got playing time. I thought it was fascinating this last Sunday to see that he got 30 snaps, I think, and Coleman got 40, which tells you just how prominent his role has become. And he's really made most of those opportunities. He looks, to me, really great running or catching the ball. He looks, you know, fast and physical. I have to throw the Dan Quinn catchphrase in there, by all means. And, you know, that's been really, really encouraging, because for a guy who, you know, probably wasn't drafted to be the number three back indefinitely, to show this much this early, including, I think, some pass protection chops, is going to get him a larger role next year, when I think the Falcons are going to have to move on from one or the other of Freeman or Coleman, and I think it will be Coleman. That said, getting Freeman back is a positive. I think that the ground game minus the Saints game has been good enough that people are starting to do what they always do when Coleman has a good game and say, is it time to move on from Freeman? Should we not have signed Freeman? Should we get rid of Freeman? But you forget just how good he is when he's healthy. You know, he's a more physical complement to Coleman. He is extremely well-rounded. He is, despite a couple of miscues, you know, a bigger asset in pass protection than Coleman. And the Falcons have certainly missed his ability to, you know, chew up a lot of carries and wear defenses out. And to catch the football, you know, he is effective at that as well. So I think at worst, you know, he comes back a little bit limited and he helps. At best, he's, you know, totally healthy after a few weeks off and can impact the game again, especially against the Steelers defense that really is not equipped to handle him in any way, shape or form. So to me, it's a huge positive to have him returning. The only question is what happens to our new favorite, you know, the judge. Now that Freeman's back, and I do have to think, you know, he's going to struggle to get that kind of run just with 3 mouths to feed.
Yeah, I think you're right. It seemed like in those first two games against Carolina and New Orleans that they were sort of hiding him in terms of his pass protection skills, but we saw him get a little bit more reps this past Sunday against Cincinnati. So, you know, that was one of those things where, to me, that's going to be a big determining factor to whether or not he gets opportunities, because basically if there's a massive drop off in terms of their ability to pass protect from Freeman and Coleman to Ito Smith, then there's obviously no real reason to plug him into the offense, because there's really no situation where you would look at him and say, oh, he's a better option than either of those two guys. But if the Falcons sort of come to the conclusion that he can hold his own in pass protection on par with those guys, and it does open the door for him to get some opportunities and get some reps in this offense as a three-headed backfield as opposed to the two-headed backfield that we've, you know, experienced the last couple of seasons. So I think that's the positive thing for Ito moving forward. We'll have to see sort of what his role is going to be, but I think you're right. He's performed well enough that he should get some opportunities. And, you know, the summer of Ito could be the fall of Ito. So I'm looking forward to that, since I didn't get my summer fix as far as I wanted to see this past August.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see like a calendar of Ito if we could get that.
Okay, calendar. I just had some weird mental images pop into my head when you said calendar. So we'll just move on from there. Let me get off that subject quickly. Let's talk about sort of another thing that we talked about during that preseason. We talked about Calvin Ridley's drops, because he had a bunch in that Jaguars game. The other thing we talked about was who's going to return kicks for this team. And it seems like Marvin Hall has basically you know, it took a couple more weeks than we thought at that point going into the summer would happen. But it seems like Marvin Hall has sort of taken that job. But let's talk about Calvin Ridley and sort of his, you know, it seems like he's allergic to not scoring touchdowns, which is the opposite of what Julio is, which is he seems to be allergic to scoring touchdowns. Your thoughts?
Oh, the Julio thing is, it's just unreal at this point. I can't, you know, he could go for 2,000 yards and zero touchdowns. And I am with, you know, SB Nation's Charles McDonald and hoping that happens just because some people's heads are going to explode if it does. But, you know, for all that, the thing with Ridley has been, you know, I don't know if this kind of scoring is sustainable or not, but he has looked better than I possibly could have hoped. And obviously it helps to have Julio Jones taking attention away from you, but he's just so good already. You know, and maybe it shouldn't be a huge surprise because he came into the NFL with that reputation for running really good routes and being very fast, both of which have proven to be true. But the man is just scoring at an unprecedented clip. He'll break the rookie record for the Falcons, which I think is 9 touchdowns, 9 receiving touchdowns. And he could break that as soon as next week, really, against that Steelers defense. So you can't really say enough about how good he's been, and it's not hard to understand why the Falcons were willing to use a first-round pick on him, because, you know, I'm sure that just having everybody more comfortable and having Sarkisian in his second year has helped a lot, but I think having Ridley has helped more.
Yeah, I agree. I got nothing else to say. Dave, are there any other thoughts you want to share about the Falcons before I let you duck out?
I hope they start winning. You know, it's been a tough couple of weeks. I mean, you just don't see these kind of historically terrible, crushing losses from the Falcons this often or this regularly. You certainly see them. So it'd be nice to get a win on the board against the Steelers, and hopefully when the Buccaneers come to town next, that'll be every bit the historic train wreck that it looks like it could be, given how they've played over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that Bucs game because, you know, they were looking very good with Fitzmagic at the beginning of the season. Then he sort of fell off of a cliff, but they get Jameis back, who, when you actually look at Jameis's numbers against the Falcons, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Not looking forward to that against, you know, the weakest defense he'll have faced since he's, you know, been a Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback. And so, but then at the same time, you get one horrible Mike Smith game against the Falcons where he just refuses to figure out how to cover Julio Jones. And Julio Jones goes for like 200 yards. And so, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what's going to happen in that game, but I'm certainly excited that we will get, you know, a debacle of explosiveness from both teams on that day. So, but obviously in the meantime, they have a upcoming game against the Steelers, which, you know, is sort of a must-win sort of game to keep their season on track. So, you know, look forward to that. Love these October playoff games. Haven't been in this position in quite some time here in Atlanta, but Dave, let the people know what you guys over at the Falcoholic have coming up this week and moving forward.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, you know, realistically, if the Falcons can do anything right now to sort of apply some quick fixes to the defense. We'll have a piece tomorrow that argues pretty strenuously that time has passed. It's not going to happen. And then we'll take a more measured look a little bit later in the week. We're also going to spend a lot of time nervously breaking down the Steelers matchup and hoping that Antonio Brown gets lost in Pittsburgh. I don't even know if that's possible on his way to the game. And after that, we'll hopefully be covering a win next Sunday.
Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. And, of course, you can find Dave on Twitter at TheFalcoholic, I'm sure. You know, I would like to meet the person who's listening to this podcast. Is like, who's this Dave Choke fella? I never heard of this guy. What's this Falcoholic thing?
Yeah, I look forward to having that person follow us.
Okay. Well, have a good night, my friend.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
All right. I look forward to talking with you later this season, hopefully after a win.
For a win. A win.
There you go. All right, my friend. I'll talk to you later. There you have it. Another one in the books. Tomorrow we'll be coming back with a crossover episode with the host of Locked On Steelers, Tony Serino, looking ahead to this Steelers matchup. Then we'll come back on Thursday, I think. I think Thursday we'll do a Q&A, talking a little bit more about what I saw on film. And then I think Friday we'll do another fan talk. I feel like I have, that's the plan. Right now I have to check my calendar for the time being, but that sounds right. So if you have Q&A questions, of course you can send those into Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. That's the easiest way to get those questions in. Of course, I am at FalcFans. If it is podcast related question, you can send them there, but just indicate so in the tweet. If you prefer Facebook as your preferred social media platform, Locked On Falcons is the Facebook page. Give us a like while you're there. If you spurn social media, then you can check us out on email. That's LockedOnFalcons@mail.com as the email address. And of course, you can leave a comment at FalFans.com where the show is posted daily. So, until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.